Welcome to the Empire Builders Podcast, teaching business owners the not-so-secret techniques that took famous businesses from mom-and-pop to major brands. Stephen Semple is a marketing consultant, story collector, and storyteller. I'm Stephen's sidekick and business partner, Dave Young. Before we get into today's episode, a word from our sponsor, which is, well, it's us. But we're highlighting ads we've written and produced for our clients. So here's one of those.
License number 146316.
Hi, I'm Tasha from ASAP Commercial Doors. We've been having a ton of fun this year telling everyone about commercial doors, roll-up doors, and even gates. So I wanted to say a great big thanks for all the messages that you've sent in and for trusting us with the doors of your business. Doors for your store, your office place, and roll-up doors for your warehouse. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. May your doors always open and may they never creak. Oh, and Genie really wanted to be here, but he upset the Genie High Council. So they gave him community hours over the holidays. Yeah, has to help the Grinch give back all the presents and decorations he stole without using magic. Poor Genie.
ASAP, commercialdoors.com.
Merry Christmas!
Genie, is that you?
And Happy New Year!
Told you, Brian.
Told me what?
This is part two of last week's episode.
Oh, yeah. And it was getting good.
If you missed it, go back and listen to part one first. Take it away, fellas.
You know, it's very compelling. I could put my business hat on and go 500 square feet, one oven, timed, single employee can do this. And if the product's really great, that's quite compelling. But you still got to pound the pavement to find those franchisees. And you still got to have a pretty good pitch. So if I'm a potential franchisee, what's the pitch? A dirty dough franchise.
I think I would kind of reiterate with just what you just told me as well. So it's hitting on the team first. We have a really experienced team. You know, now our CEO, Jill, who I mentioned, is now our president. And our CEO is Greg Majewski, who was the CEO for Jimmy John's during all of their rapid growth. And now he owns another, you know, X amount of brands. So it's okay, here's the team. But that's one thing. The other thing is cost. You know, how much does it cost to open up us versus a competitor? And we're going more towards the how do you lower the barrier of entry to entrepreneurship by allowing new people to become entrepreneurs? Well, what does it take to become a business owner? You know, you need time, money, and expertise. Well, we've taken away the expertise out of it.
Yes.
Because you don't need to be a baker.
Right.
All you have to do is learn how to use an oven.
Right.
The time it takes to run a business is generally correlated pretty closely with the number of employees.
Yes.
If a competitor requires 50 employees before opening day and we require 15, which one is going to take more time?
Right.
And then the money it requires. Well, if you only have a 500 square foot build out or even a 1,000 square foot build out and only one oven, you don't have to buy all the mixers, nor do you have to have all the storage for all your raw ingredients because I'm shipping you a finished product. Now you no longer have to have all of the same amount of capital. So it's less capital, less expertise, and less time required, backed up by a really good product. Generally speaking, we get a little bit better reviews than anybody else. You know, I mean, a 4.8 star and somebody else, the competitors are 4.6, you know, but it's also more of a unique product. Go try to make a three-layer cookie at home or in a Insomnia Cookies or Crumble Cookie store by hand. It's like, you can't do it. So we kind of cornered the market on having a unique product, and the barrier of entry to competing with us is you go spend a few million dollars like the idiot that I was before you even have a freaking franchise open. You know what I mean? Like it was a high risk, but now I think it's paying off because we've allowed our franchisees to sell a more unique product and nobody else has broken into that space yet, probably due to the cost.
So what's the typical investment that somebody would require to open up one of your franchises?
250. 275 is kind of average. You know, if you get a good space, that's a second gen and your construction cost is low, you know, you can open it up for less than 200.
Right.
That's kind of what we're looking at.
But in the grand scheme of things, not a massive investment.
Yeah. Especially if you could do an SBA loan with, you know, 40 grand down or something like that. And to my knowledge, and I haven't checked in a little bit, but we hadn't been denied, or maybe one franchisee had been denied an SBA loan because they like the model. Because, you know, banks are also looking at risk. And what's higher risk? 50 employees out of 1,800 square feet or 15 employees out of 500 square feet? You know, right. $700,000 opening investment or $300,000 opening investment.
And you're also saying your cost of operating is going to be lower as well because you can run it with one person. You don't need three people in the store at a time. I can see lots of advantages to it. So what have you guys been doing on the marketing front to get the name out there? Because it's one thing to give people the operation and the name and the logo. What have you been doing to promote Dirty Dough to the world?
The thing that's been the most effective was definitely our response to the lawsuit.
Right, right.
I remember I'm going to a franchise conference next week in Philadelphia. And the first time I went was 2 years ago. And I went with my Dirty Dough shirt and I got stopped by like dozens of people like, oh, Dirty Dough. And I'm like, we just opened our first franchise 2 months ago. How do you even know who we are? Right. But it was for sure because of the Utah cookie wars, whatever. That definitely helped us out. Outside of that, what's been mostly effective is honestly been sampling, going to businesses and just showing up because you have an amazing product. I just did that a few weeks ago in San Diego with my little brother who just opened up a store. You go to 7 businesses and say, hey, can we give you free cookies that you can hand out on your behalf to all of your customers after a karate class? And you can say, hey, free cookie, no purchase necessary on us. All you have to do is download the app and Dirty Dough is 3 doors down. 7 out of 7 said yes, because we showed up with 4 cookies. So it's like, what's your cost for 4 cookies? And then we went to a handful of schools with a dozen cookies, warm cookies cut up, and you show up anywhere in the world with a box of cookies, warm cookies, and you get let in and you have great conversations with people. You know, it's like, just get your product in front of people.
I'm going to encourage people to go back and listen to episode 61, which is Fields Cookies.
I listened to that episode. And now I'm like, I just copied her.
Right. Employee number one is from Mrs. Fields. And what did they do? Now, they did it differently because back in the day that Mrs. Fields started, there was huge foot traffic through shopping malls. So what did they do? Gave away warm cookies in the mall. But it's the same idea. You're just going, we're not in the mall. We're not in a foot traffic location. I'm assuming you're probably decent visibility location so people can find you, but we're going to walk up and down the street. We're going to go into every business. We're going to go into every craft store and art store and karate studio and ballet studio and give away warm, fresh cookies. It's the same idea.
Yes. And going back to our CEO right now, he came on at Jimmy John's when they're like 28 stores and he left them when they had 300 open and 700 additional sold. And he's like, during that whole time, you don't really have a marketing budget. You know, your 3% that you're paying doesn't really even cover for your website and your tech and all that. So he's like, it was just samples. And the advice that he gave everybody was you need to give 50 samples a day. Get your sandwich, cut it up to whatever pieces you want. And sampling is great. We did that something similar with a haircutting franchise, a kid's haircutting franchise. Hey, will you give out free cookies to all of your clients on us? All they have to do is download the app and come into our store. They gave out however many coupons, 360 people, unique visitors, kids with their parents, you know, because they're only getting one coupon, showed up to the store to redeem it. So like your product cost and everything on that is, you know, maybe a few $100. It's like, how else can you pay a few $100 and get 360 people plus their parents to come in, download the app and try a cookie? You can't. Now, the issue with that is, you know, bandwidth and how much can you do that? And the good thing about ads is you just turn it up and down and it's a lot more passive. And I think they both play, you know, hand in hand. But that boots on the ground, guerrilla marketing, getting out there and getting, you know, you're on the high school, you know, buy one, get one free discount card or whatever. Like those are, at least initially when franchisees are opening, like that's what's making a big impact.
And here's what I'm going to say that I think that you did brilliantly. There's two things that I want people to take away on this. It's probably 3 things, actually, now that I think of it. I keep adding things because it's so amazing. But one is, when you don't have money, you got to spend time. Like, in other words, your guys are not sitting in their shop doing nothing. You're like, no, here's the model. Get out there, get out in the community, give cookies away. You can't sit in your store, right? So if you don't have money, you got to do things. But here's what I'm also going to say that I think was really right that you did. And I think it's better than giving 2-for-1 coupons, because when we discount things, we tend to create price sensitivity in our customers. There's lots of studies on that. But that doesn't apply when you give things away for free, because no one expects a second one for free. But when we get a 2-for-1, we expect 2-for-1 again in the future. So I think what you guys have done that's brilliant is the free. I'm giving it away for free, right? And yeah, there'll be some people who will never come back because they're not cookie people and whatnot. But for each one of those, there'll be a few people who go, these are amazing. I'm going to go buy a box.
Yeah. I mean, and even of those 360 people that came in, it still accounted for I think they did a pretty terrible job at upselling, but it was still, they still made way more money than it cost them to make those cookies.
Sure.
Because you come in for one cookie, but it's the mom taking out two of their kids. Only one of them's getting a haircut, and you can't just buy one kid a cookie, you know?
Yeah. The free thing is brilliant and great and, you know, proven. So fantastic. The other thing I think that's been really good again, and it shows your boots on the ground, is the calling out, reaching out to people and saying, hey, I'm thinking about franchising. Can you give me feedback on it? And learning all of that, I think, is something, again, that people can learn from. You didn't sit back and just get on the computer and research things and whatnot. You spent time in front of people. That's what guerrilla marketing is all about.
So I was living in San Diego, and there's a brand called Everbowl. They're probably around 100 locations. I just cold messaged the owner, and I'm like, hey, I don't live that far from you. I'm starting a franchise. I'd love to sit down and talk with you. I didn't think you'd respond. He did. Jeff Finster, great guy. And I'm like, hey, here's my model. I'm going to sell franchises in packs of five. So your first location is going to be 2,500, 3,000 square feet. And that's where you're going to house your machine. And then after you get that up and running, then you can open up 2, 3, 4, and 5. You buy a Sprinter van, whatever, and then you're delivering cookies. And this guy looks at me just as serious as can be. He's like, that's going to fail. He's like, you cannot hope that your franchisees are now machine operators. And then you're going to tell me that you're going to make them deal with insurance and vehicles and driving? Like, no. And I'm like, well, why not? You know? And he goes through it all. I'm like, okay, you need to do all that for him, and you can and centralize everything to one location. Then you get even better economies of scale on all your ingredients. That was a 100% pivot from what I thought I was going to do. But me just messaging somebody on Instagram to meet up with lunch. And then he changed my whole business model in 30 minutes.
Stay tuned. We're going to wrap up this story and tell you how to apply this lesson to your business right after this.
What message?
What?
No. What is the message?
How?
Media.
What?
Not what, but how. How is media?
Which is first?
Message. What you have to say is first.
But I thought how was first.
No, media is second. How the message is delivered is less important than what you have to say. Your message.
So the message is key?
Yes. Oh, and you can book your free starter session on this podcast website.
Back to you, Dave. Dave.
Let's pick up our story where we left off, and trust me, you haven't missed a thing.
That was a 100% pivot from what I thought I was going to do, but me just messaging somebody on Instagram to meet up with lunch, and then he changed my whole business model in 30 minutes.
It's interesting because founder of the Wizard of Ads Group, Roy Williams, very early in his advertising career, what he did is he went out and he interviewed businesses. And it wasn't like a podcast interview. This is back in the days where you just sat down and said, hey, tell me about your business. I'm wanting to learn about business. What have you done that's really successful? What have you not done? But again, it was collecting of all of that knowledge that he then put together the piece, said, wow, you know, the people who are really successful and from what did it this way. So that's what I'm going to take out into the world. And yeah, I think we've lost this art or this psychology of going out and talking to people. And yes, it's harder today because you don't have big board of trade meetings and things along that lines, but you still can. It goes to show that you can reach out to a bunch of people and there will be people who will say, yeah, I'll talk to you, especially if they don't feel like you're trying to sell them something, where it's just, I'm thinking about starting something. Can I run some ideas past you? Sure.
Yeah. Greg Manjusi, again, our current CEO and the Jimmy John's CEO, cold messaged him on LinkedIn a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. Took me 6 months to get him on the board and then a year to get him a CEO. It is. People ask me all that. You're like, it was a cold message? I'm like, yeah, we've also raised 8 or 9 million pretty much all off of cold contacts, you know, or asking a warm contact for a referral. And they're like, oh, you didn't have any connections before then? I was like, no, but I sold Cutco and I did door to door and I've knocked tens of thousands of doors and I served a mission. Like, I'll just keep going till I find it.
Right. It's that amazing training of just learning how to do that. And I think it's a skill that is being lost. You know, this whole, how do you get out there and how do you get to know people and how do you create that community and create that interest? It's just like, even the reaching out on LinkedIn, most reach outs on LinkedIn is the person's trying to sell you something or is saying, hey, I would like to talk to you. It's like, look, yeah, I know you're just trying to sell me something. It's not, I've got this idea and I'd like feedback on it. You know, Could you help me? That's a different reach out.
It has been absolutely mind-boggling to me how many people will sit, because you kind of have two groups of people. You kind of have the more of the hustle, you know, go earn your keep, charge, your time is valuable. If people want to pick your brain, tell them to go to hell because you're worth so much money and blah, 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 you know.
Right.
And I bought into that squall. And then I got into like the John Richards, he was our first advisor, the founder of InfoSpace, which IPO'd for $30 billion. You talk to somebody, that's a different business world than guys, you know, running a coaching program or whoever is giving different advice. And he's like, no. You give other people your time and you network for free. And then other people network for you. Like right now, the decisions that I'm making, we have a deal on the table, an investment deal. I was like, okay, should I take it or not? I sat down with the owner of a company called Savory Fund out of Utah. They own several hundred restaurants. And he just sat down with me so I could lay out the deal. And he gave me his unbiased feedback on it. I'm like, why did you do that? You know what I mean? But he's like, oh, well, it's because you know this person. And I know that you've talked with this other person that works for one of my stores. And it's just like, everything is very well connected. And as soon as I got rid of the, your time is valuable, charge other people if they want to pick your brain, said, no, I'm not going to charge people. I'm just going to give it back. And other people seem to give it to me. It's been so powerful for networking. Even if nothing comes from it, at least I know that person. And
yes,
I maybe could have added some value to them, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, that's not much different than my philosophy, because I structure it as kind of a 90-minute meeting that I'll do if people want to talk about marketing. And there's a little bit of prep work I ask them to do just so that I can show up actually with a bit of an intelligent thing to say. Yeah, I'll meet with anybody, because my attitude is, why not? And if you can help somebody out, it just seems like it comes back in some weird way, you know, to help you in the future. I think there is that. And yes, people can be a little bit too much, and you do have to balance it. There is only so many hours in the day, but at the same time, yeah, there is a little bit of that, you know, give back that I think is a good mentality to have.
Yeah. And it is important. Yeah. Don't get lost in giving free phone calls. That's not what I'm saying. But it's like, if you're like, oh, I got 3 hours a week to go meet three new people.
Yes.
Like, and I'm going to pick who those three people are this week, or whether it's me outreaching to somebody else or other people outreaching to me. But I remember just like Kona Ice is a brand that has over 1,000 locations. You know, somebody that owns a franchise called me for some advice. And then after, they're like, hey, can I share your information with Tony? And then I got to meet Tony, you know, and they have 1,000 locations. And it was just because I'd helped somebody and he was asking something else about cookies and desserts. And it was like, oh, it's cool how quickly sometimes you see it. And sometimes you don't see it quickly, but it doesn't matter. I do believe that, like, if you have a problem, either it's because you lack knowledge to solve it, or you lack somebody with knowledge to solve it. And the bigger you build your network, the greater capacity you have to solve your business issues.
And the other thing I think that you've done, and I can just hear it in the way that you're talking, even when you got bad news, like that won't work, and here's the reason why, there's two things that you did. One is you didn't let that defeat you. So you went, okay, I got to rethink this model. But the other thing is you listen to the advice of this person who is highly knowledgeable. Like, I'm amazed at the number of times that we'll sit down and talk to people and they'll be like, they want the way that they're doing it to be true, even though there's no way it's going to work out. That's fine. It's their life. They can drive that way. But there's a certain point where it's like, no, you know, if this person really and truly is an expert, and often experts will point out that thing that, like, yeah, this won't work for this sets of reasons. And again, it's not to say don't do it. It's don't do it that way.
Yeah. I mean, when I got on the phone with our current CEO now, the first time, it was probably the second person outside of the Jeff Finster guy from that first story I told that was just as blunt as can be. And I'm getting on the phone all excited. You know, I'm like, we're doing this. We've sold X amount of hundred of franchises and we've opened up 4 stores already. And he's like, you're an idiot. You're doing this, this, and that. I'm like, okay. And it was a potential investment call, but it wasn't a good fit. And then I'm like, but he was so blunt. And that's what I like. You know, I want somebody to calm it and be like, that's bullshit. And I know why. And here's the reason.
Right.
So it wasn't going to go down the investment side, but I'm like, well, what does it take to get you on as a board of advisors, you know?
Right.
And then we began that relationship because of him just telling me how all the mistakes, and I know all the mistakes that I make. And it's kind of like, okay, well, you can have short-sighted selfishness or long-sighted selfishness. You know, the short side is like, no, I need to be right because, you know, I need to feed my pride. And it's like, no, I want to be right in the long term. And to be right in the long term, it's because I'm listening to people who are smarter than me.
Yes. Yes. Now, here's one of the things I'm going to say that I admire about what you did is you very quickly got above that 50 franchise space, because what a lot of people don't realize is 50 and under is Death Valley. It's an awful, brutal place to be, because you've got to support all these franchisees and it's not enough franchisees to make money.
Yeah. But the franchisees don't know that.
No.
They have no idea.
And it's also not their problem. I bought a franchise. You got to support me, right? But at the same time, you've got to build a business and you've got to recognize, you've got to get above that. And I think I'm right on the number. Like, I don't know. Am I pretty close on the number?
Yeah. I think that's, and obviously if you're a full scale restaurant, the number's a little bit lower. If you're a snack brand, the number would be a little bit higher. What I was speaking to in that though was, it makes it even harder because you have 40 locations and all your franchisees think you're just loaded with money. And you're like, what are you doing with all my marketing dollars? You're like, what marketing dollars? 40 stores and like, that's nothing. What do we do with that? How do you put up billboards if you're getting 3% from 40 stores? You know what I mean?
When do you think you'll hit 250 stores open?
Man, I'd have to go look at it again because I feel like it always changes.
Give me your guess.
We'll end this year with about 90. Next year, I think it was 170. So, you know, a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay. What revenue does somebody need to do out of one of the little stores to become profitable?
It's going
to
depend on a few things, mainly just the lease space. If you're in San Diego or if you're in Oklahoma, right? But I've seen, you know, break evens, 20 grand a month. Some franchisees are breaking even. Some are a little bit more than that. But when you compare it to like Crumble, they disclose their financials. And if their lowest store, I think, was doing like 50,000 a month and lost almost 20,000 a month on that, you know, like it is drastically different. Yeah, but
it's not a big number.
$250,000 to 350 is where we're hoping our break even is going to be.
It's not a big number, which I understand. So what I get why you guys are successful. You've got an easy business to run. It's a low cost to entry and not a big hurdle to get to that profitable space. So I'm going to be, for me, it's going to be fun watching growth that you guys go for. So if somebody is listening to this and says, wow, this sounds like an opportunity I want to get in on, what do they do? How do they get started? Who do they reach out to?
I would try some cookies, make sure you like them. and then if and when you do, dirtydough.com, you can get information on franchising, you know, videos and all of that, apply there and go through the process. Or reaching out to me, bennettmaxwell.com is my website that just has links to all my social medias, LinkedIn, any of that. If you have any other questions outside of the, you know, do I want to buy a store? Because usually that's not why people are coming to me, but.
That's awesome. And again, it's going to be exciting to watch what you guys are doing. Now, last question. If you are going to give somebody advice who's an entrepreneur and is looking to grow their business, and of course, this is kind of a bit of a tough one because all sorts of industries, you know, listen to this podcast. What should they take away from this conversation and what would you tell them?
Don't get caught up in the fancy Nancy glamour of entrepreneurship. I mean, some people want to be an entrepreneur just to be an entrepreneur. Like, I own a business, but what are you after? So I've been focusing a lot in the last few years on, you always set material goals. My goal is to have a $10 million business, right? My goal is to have 50 franchises open. And then, but then you hit those marks and it feels good for a little bit,
yeah,
and then it doesn't. And it was because my real goal wasn't to have 50 franchises. My real goal is how I thought I would feel when I had 50 franchises open or when we had 10 million in revenue. So it's whatever you're going into, whatever your goals are, if your goals don't include, I want to grow this business to do XYZ because I want to feel this way more often or this often, like, and a lot of times you'll see that you don't need a $10 million business to have more time with your family, because guess what? You could just be with your family every day. You know what I mean? But like, set the right goal. And if it's not emotional based, I don't think it's, you're not to the end point, because there's nothing that humans do that we do without the intention of feeling a certain way. That's what I think.
You know, that is so awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I know, just given the fact that you said that, you and I are going to become friends long-term, because I love that philosophy. I love that philosophy. Hey, thank you so much for your time. This has been awesome. And folks, check out Dirty Dough. It's pretty cool. And you know what we're all looking forward to? We're all looking forward to when we see Dirty Dough as a $1 billion business.
Here we go. Me too.
Thanks, man.
You just need to survive till then.
You will. It'll be great.
Yes, please share us, subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and leave us a big, fat, juicy 5-star rating and review at Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like to schedule your own 90-minute empire-building session, you can do it at empirebuildingprogram.com.